Welcome to our Wednesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I am continuing a series that I've entitled Knowing God. This is the middle of my fifth week of teaching, and this coming Friday is going to be my last day to teach on this. And I tell you, this has been a great series. I believe it's just the bottom line. It's all about relationship with God, not just what God can do for you. It's not just getting your sins forgiven so that you don't go to hell. It's not about what you miss. It's about what's made available to you. And it's not all about heaven in the future either. God can be your best friend right now. The Lord will give you a quality of life in this life that just elevates our experience to something that is infinitely greater than what people who don't know God could ever experience. And so I've spent over a month talking about that. This week, I've gone back to the original scriptures that I was using out of Philippians chapter 3. And I read these about where Paul said that even though he was so accomplished in many different ways, he counted everything that he had ever done as dung compared to knowing God. And that's how we started this series. After he said this about that, then in the next verse, he said, here's the reason that he put that value on everything else. All of his accomplishments, everything that he could do was like dung compared to knowing God. And here's the reason. Here's what he wanted to accomplish. In verse 9, it says, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And so this week, what I've been doing, after I've already established how important knowing God is and how that, of course, the Word of God reveals God to us, I talked about how we have to have the ministry of the Holy Spirit to enlighten us and open up our heart and help us to comprehend and receive and know God. Then, this week, I've just been talking about what are some of the major things that we have to know. We have to get this straight in order to really know God. And from this ninth verse of Philippians chapter 3, I talked about, first of all, you have to not be found in yourself, knowing your own righteousness, but you have to be found in Him, not having your own righteousness, which is the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. You have to get rid of self-righteousness. You have to quit being self-centered and instead humble yourself and receive salvation as a gift. Then we talked about that there's two types of righteousness. Not only this self-righteousness that is based on your actions, but there is an imputed righteousness, is the term that the Scripture uses, or it also says faith righteousness, a righteousness which comes by faith and not by your own actions. And let me point this out in this ninth verse. He says, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law. The law here is not referring to like a governmental system. Like today, we'll talk about the law of the United States or of England or India or Australia, wherever you're watching this program. You have your own set of laws. This isn't talking about this. This is talking about the Old Testament law. The law that was communicated by God through Moses in the Old Testament, where you were given not only the Ten Commandments, but thousands of commandments and ordinances and precepts that had to be obeyed. And if you didn't obey those things, then there was a punishment attached to every sin that was committed contrary to the law that God laid down. And so what this did, it instilled in people this mindset that I've got to do steps 1 through 10,000. I've got to do all of these things that God says. And when I fulfill these requirements, this law, then God will bless me with this. Now, that's the way that this has basically been interpreted. And I would say that as a whole, the Christian church today, this is the way that they look at the Old Testament law. They look at it like man, after we sinned, we're adrift in transgression. We didn't know where to go, what to do. So God gave us the law to tell us all of the things that we must do to be right with Him. And the church has basically embraced that and said, oh, this is wonderful. God gave us this law to set us free from sin. But that's not what the purpose of the law was for. The law was sent to bind us and actually increase the amount of sin or the damage that sin did in our life. It was to literally put us under such a heavy yoke and such a heavy burden that if we thought we could be good enough and that somehow or another we could live holy enough to earn God's favor, for people who were self-righteous, it just increased the standard of what God's holiness was to such a degree that nobody could ever keep it. And the logic behind this was that it was to make you despair of self-righteousness, and it was to make you throw yourself upon God for mercy. But again, one of the slickest deceptions that Satan has ever put across on the earth is through the church. He has deceived the church into thinking that God gave the law so that by us keeping all of these laws, we could earn God's favor. And that's not true. Let me just share some scripture with you. I know some of you are absolutely stunned and you're thinking, how dare you say this? There is no basis for anything that you're saying. Let me just use a few scriptures here. I want to read this to you out of the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In verse 55, he says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Now, this is an amazing statement. This says that the thing that strengthened sin was the law. The law made sin strong in your life. Again, most people believe that the law was given to weaken sin and to give you the upper hand. It wasn't that way. The truth is that, see, it doesn't matter if you sin big or if you sin little. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If there is the slightest sin in your life, then you have been defiled by sin and you can't overcome it. But see, people don't understand this. It says, I believe it's over in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it says, but they comparing themselves among themselves and measuring themselves by themselves are not wise. And yet this happens all of the time. Basically, this is what so many people do. They know that God exists and they know that there has to be something we do to atone for our sins or to receive atonement. And so they look around and basically they kind of take an average of people and they think, well, I think that the worst people aren't going to be accepted because they're too big of sinners. And I'm not wanting to or willing to be one of the most holy. And so, you know what, as long as I'm average, somewhere in the middle, I believe that God's going to accept me. They compare themselves among themselves. Don't look at me in that tone of voice. Amen. If I could see you right now, I know some of you are thinking, oh, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Let me just illustrate that, you know, in the United States, in my generation, when I was a kid, homosexuality was absolutely taboo. Now, I'm sure that there were homosexuals, but they certainly didn't have parades and brag about it, and they didn't flaunt it, and they didn't demand equal rights, and they didn't go and get married to each other and want some kind of a civil ceremony the way that we see today. How did things change? You know, it happened there when I was a little kid. I was born in 1949 in the 50s and 60s. There was a culture in the United States that was so moral and so godly. Now, again, there was a lot of people. I mean, people have been sinning since the beginning of time, and there was people sinning then, but it certainly wasn't accepted and embraced and promoted. It was considered wrong, and people who were homosexuals, they would not flaunt it and brag about it. If they did it, they'd do it in secret, but they certainly weren't proud of it. But what happens is, because we compare ourselves among ourselves, we see these movie stars, we see athletes, we see politicians, we see people who are rich and famous and make the covers of magazines, and all of a sudden it comes out that they are homosexual. And people look at this and they think, well, you know, they thought that a person who was living in sin or something just, you know, had to be totally devastated by it, and yet they see these people that are on the covers of the most popular magazines. They're rich, they're famous, people just want to be like them, and you know what happens? They begin to compare themselves and they say, well, this person, is a homosexual, and they were famous, they were rich, everybody envied them, they lived, they survived. You know what? It must not be as bad. And they started basically drawing their morality from looking at other people instead of going by the standard of the Word of God. Now, I don't hate homosexuals. I believe that homosexuals can be saved, and I pray for them, but I do say it's sin. It's wrong. It's forbidden in the Bible. But see, people quit using the Bible as their standard, and they start comparing themselves among themselves and measuring themselves by themselves, and according to the Word of God, that's not wise. And so how did God bring people back to what a true standard is? You know, in other words, they go to looking and they say, well, if the hypocrite's down there at church making, I'm going to make it. I'm sure that all of you have heard that statement. You know, the only thing wrong with that logic is that the hypocrites aren't going to make it. You're comparing yourself with the wrong person. And just because some people lived a homosexual lifestyle and they lived and they were famous and rich and all of this stuff, and you didn't see physical punishment in this life, there is coming a day that everybody's going to stand before God, and it's still wrong. I don't care how famous, how rich, how powerful, how envied a person is, it's still immoral. It's not the way that God made us. He didn't make them Adam and Steve. He made them Adam and Eve. Amen. And you can sit there and rationalize that any way you want to, but it's wrong. It doesn't mean that God hates the individuals who are doing it. It doesn't mean that I treat them badly. I love them and I share the gospel with them, but it's wrong. The statistics are that homosexuals have, I don't remember the exact details, but multiple times, 2, 3, 4, 5 times the death rate, the depression rate, all of these things. It's wrong. It's wrong. I don't know how to say it any different than I'm saying it. It's wrong. But you know what? God loves the people. But see, people were deceived, and they were doing this back thousands of years ago. And they would, you know, basically look at society and take an average and compare themselves among themselves and think, well, I think, you know, I have to live exactly here. But the thing that's wrong with that is that if James 2:10 says, if you keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, you become guilty of all. You know, I have never committed adultery. I have not gone out and stolen. I haven't gotten drunk. I hadn't done a lot of the things that people consider quote-unquote sins. But you know what? If you keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, you become guilty of everything. So from God's standpoint, there isn't a hell number two or a hell number three that he sends people to. You either have to be perfect with zero sin, perfect, or you have to put faith in a Savior who died and paid for your sins. It's not a third option. It's not put faith in a Savior and live as holy as you can, and it's a combination of his goodness and your goodness. Nope, you either have to be perfect if you're going to trust your own goodness, which is impossible, or you have to humble yourself and receive salvation. So even though I haven't done the sins that many of you have, I was headed to hell. I have become guilty of murder and adultery and lying and stealing and all of those other things. Even though I haven't committed those physical actions, I fell short. It's like if I had a glass in front of you and me. If there was this huge glass that went from floor to ceiling in front of you and me, you could shoot a bullet through that glass, or you could drive a truck through that glass. It doesn't matter about the size of the hole that you make. If you shatter the glass, the whole thing is broken and it's got to be replaced. God's law wasn't just 10,000 different commandments. It was one commandment comprised of 10,000 different things. And if you break one of them, you've broken the whole thing. Now, if you really understood that, you know what? That would totally change your approach. And this is the point that I'm trying to get across. We've been talking about knowing God. You got to get out of trying to earn God's favor based on your goodness. You got to quit being self-righteous. I talked yesterday about how that there is an imputed righteousness, a faith righteousness, that when you humble yourself and put faith in Jesus, he makes you in right standing, and the righteousness of the law is fulfilled in you. Today, I'm saying that if you aren't into that faith righteousness, this self-righteousness always drives us back to the Old Testament law, trying to live up to some standard of all of these things. And there are millions of people watching this program right now who have been trapped in religion thinking that you've got to go to church, pay your tithes, live holy, read the Bible, do this, this, and this, and this before God will accept you. Let me just share some scripture with you again out of the Bible. In Galatians chapter 3, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Now anybody who has ever claimed to be a Christian and has any type of relationship with God, I'm not just talking about nominal Christians, people that claim they're a Christian because they aren't a Buddhist or a Muslim or a Hindu, but people who have some type of relationship with God, they had to have come to God and have accepted salvation as a gift. Nobody who thinks that they are earning God's favor is truly born again. But if you came to the Lord and accepted it as a gift, well, then this is saying, are you so foolish having received the Spirit? It says, are you so foolish? Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? The question is, did you earn this or was it a gift? Well, of course, the obvious answer is, if you've ever had any relationship with God, it was a gift. You put faith in what Jesus did. In verse 3, it says, are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? If you got saved singing just as I am without one plea, but all of your faith was in what Jesus did for you, are you so foolish that you start that way, but now you've got to earn God's favor? That's inconsistent. It says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Did you get saved by putting faith in the grace of God? Well, then that's the same way that you should continue to walk with Him, and that's what He's saying. It says, have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Well, some people think that people who are used by God and see miracles happen, it's because they're such holy individuals. Well, it's not true. God's never had anybody qualified working for Him yet. You aren't going to be the first one. I'm not. I don't deserve it. I've seen miracles happen. I've seen the dead raised. I've seen blind eyes open. I didn't deserve it. It wasn't because I was holy. This should be obvious, but again, religion is so clouded people's thoughts that many people do think people that work miracles, it's because they're better than everybody else. That's not true. It's just a gift, and it's a calling of God. It is not based on your own goodness. In verse 6, he says, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Verse 7, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. You know, I wished I had time to explain verses 6 through 8 right here, but it'd take more time than I've got on today's program. But that's a powerful truth. And here's a verse I wanted to get to in verse 9. So then, they which are of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Again, if you take the context, it's not talking about those who are living holy, but no, it's those who just believe and receive. And then he makes this statement, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. That's a quotation from Deuteronomy 27:26. And this is saying that if you don't do all of the law, all of it, not as much as you can, not more than your neighbor, if you don't do all of it, again, I refer to James 2:10, if you keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, you become guilty of all. If you don't keep all of the law, then instead of earning the blessing of God, you have earned the curse. If you miss one command out of 100, you get cursed instead of blessed. It's not like in school where if you make 99, you pass and you might be the highest score in the class. No, if you don't make an absolute 100 on everything, you fail. You go directly to hell. You do not pass go. You do not collect $200. You are damned if you aren't perfect unless you have a Savior and you put your faith in Him. But if you are of the law, that means if you are trying to keep all of these commandments, if you have fallen into this deception that somehow or another you have to earn God's blessing and favor by all of your goodness, then you are trying to obtain a righteousness which is of the law. And again, I refer back to Philippians chapter 3. These are the verses we started with, and I started today's program with this. Paul said in Philippians 3:9, that I might be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law. If you are into self-righteousness, if you are trying to earn God's favor, you will always be going back to the law. Now, you may not use that terminology. You know, most people don't use that terminology. But it's the exact same thing. You might not sit there and say, well, I don't observe the law. I don't offer bullocks and sacrifices. I don't keep the feast days. I don't do this. But you have a law mentality. You think that you have to go to church, pay your tithes. You have to read your Bible every day. You have to pray so long. If you have a fight, well, then you know that God's not going to answer your prayer because you've done something wrong. You know what that is? That's the law. It's a law mentality. In other words, you have to fulfill some standard of holiness in order to obtain something from God. That's law. You might not call it the same thing. It's like, you know, you are driving down a road to some destination. You could change cars. Instead of driving in an old beat-up pickup, you maybe go to some modern car or something. But you know what? You're going in the same direction. You're on the same path. You're headed to the same destination. You may not offer blood sacrifices. You may not do some of the things that you think is talking about the law, but you are exactly in the same mode trying to cash in your goodness for some benefit from God. That's a law mentality. And you can't do that. That is wrong. And he says, to be found not having my own righteousness, which is of the law. Or you could say, which is dependent upon me keeping all of these rules. But the righteousness which is of God by faith. Man, that's powerful. And this is what we've got to do. If you want to really know God, you got to get out of your self-righteousness, which is based on an observance of the law. And you got to just receive a free righteousness that comes from God. You know, today I've got a book out entitled The True Nature of God. And it really, really exposes this law mentality. It shows you why God gave the Old Testament law. It shows you that it was only temporary and that it's not intended for the New Testament believer. And in addition to my materials on knowing God, I'm going to offer this book entitled The True Nature of God. And I tell you, it would be a real blessing.